Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're reflecting on the second reading we just heard from the letter of 1 Peter. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us a way to hear your word, even though we can't be together physically. Good Shepherd, show us where we've gone astray and guide us back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life as Christians isn't always smooth sailing, is it? In fact, Martin Luther says that one of the marks of the church is suffering. We're in the Easter season, after all, when we remember Jesus suffering for us, which gives us a whole new perspective on suffering. So as Christians, how should we understand suffering? What place does it have in our lives as people of faith? In this early part of his letter, the Apostle Peter addresses Christians struggling with suffering and questions like this. And so we'll listen to the text under three headings. We are suffering, we are called, and we are saved. So the first part, we are suffering. Not all suffering is the same, is it? Sometimes it's a result of things that we do. If we don't warm up properly before physical activity, we can suffer injury. If we aren't careful with our money, we can suffer financially. Or if we lie to cover something up, we suffer the guilt of knowing that we've done wrong. But there's another kind of suffering which is a bit harder to understand. Sometimes we suffer for what seems to be no good reason. We might even think that that's unfair. I think that's particularly clear to us right now, in lots of ways. Many are suffering from this terrible virus all around the world, and as a result, many are also suffering great loss. You only have to watch the first 5 minutes of the 6 o'clock news to know that. But we're also suffering in less obvious ways. Life without physically gathering together is really difficult for many of us. Yes, there's technology to help us deal with that, but it's just not the same, is it? Not to mention having to stop physically gathering for Sunday morning worship and to share the holy meal. We're surrounded by so much uncertainty at the moment, which causes many people to suffer stress and anxiety. Everyone suffers in these ways, in some way. But as people of faith, we also face a specific kind of suffering, persecution. When Scott Morrison posted an Easter greeting video on Facebook on Easter Sunday, I was amazed by how many derogatory comments there were under it. I knew there were people out there who target Christians for lots of different reasons, but I didn't expect it to be so bad. But this kind of thing is happening to many Christians on social media especially, but also on the streets. And it's also happening in more discreet ways. For example, sometimes Christians are left out of social gatherings because of their faith. Or sometimes they're measured against a ridiculously high moral standard because that's what people think that our faith is all about. It happens to people of all ages, all around the place. These kinds of suffering aren't a result of a wrong that we've committed necessarily. They just happen, and we're faced with a challenge. But God says something surprising here. He calls it a gracious thing when, being mindful of God, someone endures while suffering unjustly. Enduring unjust suffering for doing good is a gracious thing. Peter's saying to those persecuted Christians, God hasn't left you. In a way that we struggle to get our heads around, God is working his grace in our lives. He's flipped suffering completely, giving us a new way to see it. So, we are suffering, but we are called. Rather than trying to escape suffering like the world tells us to, Peter says that we're called to endure it. Enduring unjust suffering is a gracious thing, a Christ-like thing. God helps us to see suffering as an opportunity, rather than something to avoid. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. Verse 21 says, Jesus' suffering was completely unjust, undeserved. He never sinned, and he never deceived anyone. Yet, he went to the cross. What would you do if you were falsely accused of something? The most natural response would be to defend yourself, wouldn't it? After all, you have a right to do so. But Jesus didn't respond in that way, even though he had the chance. In fact, he did the opposite. He was silent before his accusers. And even when Peter tried to fight for him in the garden, he said, Peter, put the sword away. He knew the scriptures back to front. Surely he could have used them to defend his innocence so well that they couldn't argue against it. But no, he remained silent. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, it says in Isaiah 53. Why? Why didn't he defend himself? Peter learned from Jesus' example that God does his best work for us and in us in suffering. Jesus knew that he had to suffer to save us from our eternal suffering. Jesus' silence frustrated the high priests so much that they had him killed. And I think when non-Christians target us and we remain silent and get on with our business, it frustrates them too. But Jesus entrusted himself, or gave up himself, to the one who judges justly. Rather than listening to his accusers and letting that get to him, he trusted in who God said he is. This is my son, whom I love. Only God's judgment matters. We suffer, we are called, and we are saved. Our suffering in this world isn't all there is. God has given us a new way to see suffering by sending us Jesus. His suffering for us is our example, which we're called to follow, but even more, his suffering has saved us. It has saved us from the eternal punishment that our sin deserves. His suffering, which was grossly unjust, has freed us from eternal punishment, which would have been entirely just. But you don't have to bear that punishment, because Christ already has for you. His death gives you life, and by his wounds you have been healed. Even though we suffer, Peter shows us that we are saved people. We'll keep on going astray. That's what we humans are best at. But that's why we need the Good Shepherd to call us back into his flock. Just like sheep do, we'll keep on wandering off and being called back again, and wandering off and being called back again, until one day Christ calls all people of faith into his kingdom forever. So how does this shepherd turn his sheep around? By his word. We might be going without Holy Communion at the moment, but we'll always have his word. So make sure you read your Bible. Keep tuning into church and encourage one another, because that's how God speaks, and that's how he strengthens his people to endure. He is the overseer of our souls. He doesn't leave us unguarded or exposed or vulnerable, but he watches over and protects us through whatever and however we are suffering. Psalm 23 captures it perfectly. He leads us in the righteous path. He's with us even in the darkness of our suffering, and he provides us with everything we need forever. So when you suffer for your faith, or whenever you suffer in body or soul, remember that you have been saved by Christ, who is the good shepherd, who cares deeply for his sheep. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.